Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
Yes!
I just made it.
You did.
Praise the Lord.
True that.
How you doing, buddy?
Doing well. I can't complain.
Good.
It is Wednesday. It's my last Shock Therapy Live for the month of March, actually.
Oh, man.
Next week's special guest in studio with you, actually. Yeah. I'm moving.
Dude, crazy, man. Are you stoked?
Yeah, pretty stoked.
You should be stoked.
It's going to be good times. I mean, I'm not stoked to move. Moving is probably my least favorite thing in the world.
Well, I'm excited because we're going to start a bare-knuckle boxing club
at
your house.
We really are. And there's enough room in this new house to have that. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
With our mustaches.
I invited a few 12-year-olds so that I can actually win. So
we got parental permission for them, so we can fight.
Yeah, I told them we were watching Finding Nemo, so when they get punched in the face, it's going to be awkward.
You realize you're a creepy mustache guy who just said you invited 12-year-olds over to watch Finding Nemo. Weirdo.
Yeah.
It is Shock Therapy Live, your one-hour call-in show centered around you. What do you want to talk about? We got some good questions this morning already.
Do we?
And, yeah, we got a Facebook question. You can submit it through Facebook, facebook.com/mystaticradio. We also got an email question, an anonymous email question. You can submit those as well to studio@mystaticradio.com, which is very, very cool. So, good stuff. Or if you're so bold, 505-338-3700 is the phone number. And if you're dealing with something, having a bad week, need some advice on something. This is not a systematic theology show. We have Theology Thursday on Thursday with Pastor Jarrett. And
what if Theology Thursday was on Wednesdays?
It used to be on Tuesdays. We had Theology Thursday on Tuesday.
That's awesome.
That was the name of it.
That was great.
We loved it because Theology Thursday just sounds better, but he came in on Tuesdays. So, yeah. So here it is, Shock Therapy Live. You can get your questions in now, facebook.com/mystaticradio. We got a couple already. We got an anonymous email. You want to start there?
Yeah.
All right.
We got an email that says, are there any biblical references about how to handle someone cheating on you? Also, what does it mean to forgive someone in this context? Well, I guess it would depend on whether you're married or whether you're not married. So if you're married, there's biblical passages that talk about that. You know, we hear passages that say don't commit adultery. And as well, the concept that is portrayed in the Bible is that adultery is the only only sin or crime in a marriage that permits the other person to file for divorce or to pursue divorce. So that's what it says about marriage. Now, dating is different because dating in biblical culture was much different than dating in our culture. So, we have a tendency in our culture to create little mini marriages and then, people cheat on each other and it's like a little miniature divorce and it just gets messy and it's not the way that the Bible, intended it to be. Now you say, well, I want to date how the Bible tells me to date. Cool. Then ask your parents to go find you a husband or wife and then you're set to go because, you know, in biblical culture, it was all arranged marriages. So, I think it's so funny. Some Christians get so dogmatic about that. Well, what does the Bible say about dating? You know, I do what the Bible says. Okay. Well, then your parents get to pick who you marry.
Yeah.
You know, we have to look at this in light, of the biblical context. So what would you say as far as someone dating?
Man, dating? Well, I think the second part of her question is super important as well. What does it mean to forgive someone in this context? It sounds like this person was cheated on. It doesn't sound like they were the offender. And what does the Bible say about cheating? To me, from the reading of the email, sounds like this person was cheated on. And in dating relationships, you have a couple choices. You can choose to, the second part of her question, ask about forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
You can choose to forgive. You're not married. So technically, not technically, you can walk away.
Yeah.
You can decide, you know what? Can't do it. You've betrayed the trust. I'm out. However, there is forgiveness that comes along with that. If that person is repentant, if that person came to you and said, I did this, this happened, you didn't discover it, you know, this, your partner came to you and said, dude, I failed and I suck. And they are repentant. Well, then that's where we can talk about forgiveness. I thought of marriage right away, obviously. And I actually, you know, when she asked about biblical references to cheating, I immediately thought of Hosea.
Hmm.
I mean, that entire book is basically a parallel of the true life of Hosea and his wife Gomer and Israel.
Gomer.
And their, I know, and their relationship to God. And the idea of this husband who had a wife who was a whore, who was a prostitute. I mean, these are his
words.
You're
not allowed to say that. This is a Christian show.
Really? That's weird, because that's exactly what it says in Hosea chapter 3. He references Hosea as a whore in chapter 3, verse 3. These are God's words.
Hmm.
So I think if I'm reading scripture correctly, I'm going to say that.
Well, you have a mustache, so you can say whatever you want.
It's amazing, because in chapter 3 of Hosea, Hosea has to go back to this wife who is a prostitute, who is a whore, and it says, the Lord said to me, go again. I mean, she's over and over. Go again, love a woman who is loved by another man and is an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the children of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love cakes of raisins. And that throws me for a loop, because how often are we forgiven for our sins? How often does God forgive us? And so I think whether it's cheating, whether it's stealing, whether it's whatever it is, I feel forgiveness can come through in every avenue, not just cheating, talking about that. Yeah, in a dating relationship, you can walk away. I mean, you really can. And in a marriage, biblically, you can walk away. But that's not God's ultimate design, I don't believe.
Yeah, you know? I would agree. I would agree with marriage that God's heart is forgiveness.
Yeah.
And this is what I would say on that as well. You shouldn't date without marriage as a possibility. And if you are, you're all but setting yourself up for failure. So as you're dating somebody, if they cheat on you, then you need to look at this situation and say, man, is this someone that I really want to be married to?
Right.
You know, because if they're willing to do it while they're dating you, then they might be willing to do it while they're married to you too. So, you know, I'd look at this and really judge that, because, you know, if that's the case, God might have given you an out before you got married, and then it's, you know, you made a much deeper commitment. And I would also say within marriage, if someone's cheated on you, only forgive them if you can truly forgive them. You know, a lot of people will say, oh man, I want to see restoration, I want to forgive, but they still hold that bitterness in their heart,
right?
And they can never truly have the same relationship with that person from that point on. They'll always hold it over their head, they'll always talk about it.
Yeah.
They'll never really forgive. Keep in mind, when the Bible talks about forgiveness, it talks about a true forgiveness, where you take that sin, you throw it as far as the east is from the west, it's out of your mind. It's not something you hold over someone or use as leverage on someone. It's forgiveness. And so if you can't really do that with this person, then you shouldn't try to. You should just say, you know what? You blew it. I physically can't forgive you within my heart. And you take that out that the Bible has given you. But if you really can forgive, and if you truly can see restoration, then that's what God's called us to do.
You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. Myself and Pastor Nate Heitzig hanging out with you. We're here for the hour. Get your questions in now, facebook.com/mystaticradio, or of course, 505-338-3700, the phone number. If you'd like to keep it anonymous, you can send us your emails to studio@mystaticradio.com. I know we got a couple email questions.
A Facebook question. We got another email question. Let's take the Facebook one.
All right.
It's from Charles Michael Gatchell. I am a practicing martial artist in Chinese Kenpo.
Nice!
I have found many parallels in its philosophy to biblical thought. Does the church have an opinion on self-defense or the Bible?
Well, does the church have an opinion on the Bible? I would say yes.
Yeah.
I say the church believes it is the inerrant word of God. That's probably not the question.
I like to read it sometimes. Only when I'm having a really hard time, though.
Right.
Only when things really get tough.
Stop it. an opinion on self-defense. Well, you know, the funny thing, we actually have classes here at Calvary's campus.
Self-defense for classes.
Self-defense classes.
Yeah, so. I think, you know, a lot of people have a hard time with martial arts because they say, oh, there's so much Eastern religion and mysticism in it. And there is. In reality, there is. Same with yoga. There's a spiritual aspect to that. Now, I think that you can do either one of those, martial arts or yoga, without indulging in the spiritual practice.
Yeah.
You know, I think that, you know, I have friends who do yoga. I personally have never done it. Not because I think it's sinful, just because I think it's weird. I know people that do yoga, and in that time of closing their eyes and focusing, they're meditating on the Lord.
Right.
And they're focusing on God, and it's a spiritual time for them, but not in the spiritual sense of Eastern spiritualism, in the spiritual sense of a relationship with Jesus. So I think that you can do anything, you know, with the wrong motives or the right motives. And so if you start doing martial arts and you find yourself really getting into the Eastern mysticism and that spirituality, then it might be something you shouldn't do. But if you're truly doing it for the physical benefits of it, for the sport of it, then I don't really see an issue with it.
Yeah, and I'm really glad you brought up the idea of meditation, because I remember growing up, I was in Taekwondo.
Yeah.
And that was it. You had to, you know, we had to sit there, and we didn't like om or anything weird like that, but you know, you meditated, and there were times, and I know growing up Baptist, people freaked on that, and then somebody brought to the attention, well, we're called to meditate on scripture, we're called to meditate on the Lord, we're called to, so how do we reconcile that? You know, wait, you can't meditate in Taekwondo. Oh wait, but we're called to meditate on the Lord, we're called to meditate on. So I think that's perfect, Neil. Yeah.
Yeah.
The heart of it, the attitude of it. Why are you doing it?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the Facebook question, Charles. You can get your questions in, facebook.com/mystaticradio. You can also give us a call. It looks like we got both lines jammed, actually.
Cool.
So 505-338-3700, the phone number, or email us anonymously. You can do so as well, studio@mystaticradio.com. Let's go to the phone lines.
We've got John on the line. John, are you there?
Yeah.
What's up, man?
Oh, I just got a question for you. You know, one of the biggest things that I'm still struggling with is my sister committing suicide, and how do you forgive that? You know, I understand how to forgive. It's just the hardest thing ever is to forgive someone when they're not around.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You know what? I feel like I can speak into this directly, because my father died when I was 6 years old, and it was because of, he didn't commit suicide, but it was because of a choice he made, a decision he made that truly put him in danger and cost him his life. And I grew up without a father, hating my father, and not really caring about God, because every time somebody said, God is your father in heaven, I just got pissed, to be honest, because it was like, oh, cool, so he's going to, like, run out, make a really idiotic decision and die? Like, and I had this really hard time with forgiveness of my father. And as we talked earlier about forgiving cheating, forgiving anything, I had to examine my heart, and I had to really take a look at the Gospels and the idea of our forgiveness of sins, and realize that I fail regularly. I am a fallen human being, and I have been forgiven so much. And on that level, and I know you said you understand that forgiveness, I had to truly let it go and say, you know what? He made a foolish decision. It cost him his life. And I wish I could just have that conversation with him, and yet that's never, ever, ever going to happen. So I can either A, let it consume me and just tear away who I am and build up this wall of bitterness and hate and disregard and unforgiveness, basically, toward my father for the choice he made that cost him his life. Or I can let it go, because I'm sure you are dealing with the complications, if you will, that arise when you're holding on to unforgiveness, when you're holding on to bitterness, holding on to something.
Yeah.
Man, it eats at you. Your stomach is knotted. It tears at you. You can't eat. You can't sleep. And I was battling that, because how do I forgive my dad who made this choice that cost him everything. When I can't just talk to him and try and understand or wrap my mind around why in the blank he would make a stupid decision like that. What was the logic? What was going on in his mind that it was so bad that he felt this was his out, that this was his choice he had to make? And it consumed me for so long, but man, if you allow that bitterness to take deep root, it will destroy you.
Hmm.
Yeah,
so that's, I don't want that to happen, you know. I mean, I'm going to Christian counseling right now and, you know, getting that kind of therapy.
Yeah.
And, you know, the hardest thing for me to do is actually open the Bible.
Right.
You know, because you have this anger that you want to hold on to because you know if you open the Bible, you're going to release it.
Oh, yeah, it's selfishness. It's that, it's that hanging on to something that, and you know the conviction's going to come, you don't want... Nah, but.
And that is totally Satan, too.
Yeah.
You know, Satan's tactic is to constantly try to push us away from God. So anytime we have a feeling to run from God or run from the cross or run from the Bible, that's Satan, because he wants to put that separation in between us. So, you know, when you feel that, you've got to recognize and you've got to prepare yourself and know that that desire and that feeling to not want to go to the Bible is Satan, and you've got to resist that and push away from that and do the opposite of that. So
the one thing that really transformed and helped me is the idea that we have thoughts, and we're called to take each thought captive. This is something that God has commanded, and not because he only wants us to think about fluffy, you know, sweet things all the time, but because these thoughts can destroy us if we consume them incorrectly. You have a thought, and that thought is going to lead you to some emotion. Whatever that emotion is, it's always going to lead you to an emotion. And that emotion is going to lead you to an action. And right now, your thoughts of reading the Bible are, if I read the Bible, it's going to cause me to have to let some of this go. And then that emotion comes in, and maybe it's bitterness, maybe it's anger, maybe it's whatever. And the action from that emotion is turning away from the Word of God. And it's basically turning away from God. That's what you're doing in essence, by hanging on to this bitterness. So when you have those thoughts, man, you have to take that captive. You have to control that. And you have to change the emotion of that thought. Like, what is the emotion of this? If this is how I'm feeling, then maybe the correlating response, instead of running away from the Word, as you said, Nate, is do the opposite, is you change that action into running to the Word and disciplining yourself, because it does take discipline to overcome that bitterness. It's a hard thing to do. I fully understand and hear what you were saying.
Yeah.
But it's not yours to hang on to. Right. It's just flat not. It's selfishness. You are in essence creating yourself a pedestal and basically calling yourself God, because God is the judge, man, the ultimate judge, and God is the one that forgives or condemns. And right now you are full on placing yourself in the authority of God and saying, I'm going to condemn this. I'm going to call this, you know, whatever, and I'm going to have forgiveness, I'm going to have bitterness because it's mine. But it's not yours, man. You have been redeemed. You are forgiven if you cling to, trust in, and rely on Jesus Christ. And so who are you to cling on to that bitterness, that unforgiveness, that whatever is stewing in you, because it's not yours.
Yeah.
It's not yours to cling on to anymore.
Yeah, and just keep in mind, as I know, as much as it feels like it, she never sinned against you. You know, she sinned against the Lord.
Yeah.
And again, she doesn't have to answer to you. She has to answer to the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, I know that can be hard to think about and understand, but just keep that in mind. And also keep in mind that nowhere in the Bible does it say that suicide is the unforgivable sin.
Right.
You know, all sin is forgivable.
I don't believe that. Yeah, yeah. No, it's my sister, what, she believed in Christ, and, you know,
awesome.
So I know where she is. You know, it wasn't her that did it. It was a disease, you know, bipolar disorder that really took her life.
Yeah.
It wasn't her.
Yeah.
So.
And so you know, then just keep that in mind that she didn't sin against you. She sinned against the Lord in doing that. And you look forward to seeing her again one day. And you know, I'm sure that if she's in heaven, she's looking down. And she probably breaks her heart that this is destroying you. And I'm sure that if she could, she would take that away and she would take that pain away. But she can't. So yeah. you've got to just look at that. Look at this as what it is, and give it to the Lord, and cling to the Lord in this time, not push him away.
Yeah, man. Dude, I think of 1 Peter. I think of many places where we are called to cast our anxieties upon the Lord. We are called to present things to the Lord and give them over to him, and just let him have them. And John, can we pray for you right now?
And just
pray that you would cling to that word and that you would be able to cast those burdens and those anxieties and cares upon him.
I'd greatly appreciate it.
All right.
Lord God, we just come before you, Lord, and bring John to you. And we just pray that you'll speak into his life, God, that you'll give him encouragement and comfort, that you'll build him up, Lord, that you'll help him to move past this, God, and find forgiveness in his heart, and to get to a place where he's focused on you and focused on his reuniting with his sister, Lord, and his eternal destiny. As he believes and trusts and clings to you, as he heads toward his permanent destination of heaven, God, I pray that you'll speak to him. I pray that you'll just cleanse him in the blood of the Lamb, Lord. And I pray that he will, in this time, instead of pushing you away, he will draw close to you. And that as he draws close to you, give him encouragement and comfort and peace, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
John, thanks so much for the call, man.
All right, man. God bless.
God bless you, man. Too.
505-338-3700 is the phone number. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. I'm Steve-O. With me, as always, Pastor Nate Heitzig. We got to take our first break, but coming up, we've got an email question to get to. We've got another caller, and we got one line open. 338-3700, the phone number, if you'd like to be part of the show. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. Right back.
Skull Church is on the way to Albuquerque.
Mark this down. Sunday night, April 14th.
Levi Lasco and the Skull Church Band will be at Calvary, Albuquerque.
You can have it all. All my heart, all for you. You can have it all. All my heart, all for you. It's all for you.
Real, relevant, raw. That's Skull Church.
And, oh yeah, free.
Here's what's behind Skull Church.
So that's what Skull Church is all about. It's all about what Jesus did on Skull Hill, where he died in our place.
Do you know someone who won't face reality?
I don't believe I'm going to die, ever. Why not? I haven't died before.
But they need to know the truth. Bring them to hear Levi Lesko at Skull Church.
Are you ready to stand before God? Are you ready to enter eternity?
Angels bow before you.
Levi Lesko and the Skull Church Band
at Calvary, Albuquerque.
April 14th, skullchurch.com.
Skullchurch.com.
This is The Wire.
Are you a choir kid? Like me, I'm a choir kid. Check this one out. Free admission to Eternal Love, Everlasting Light, a four-part program presented by the Houghton College Choir of Houghton, New York. The show is at 7:30 p.m. Friday, March 22nd, and you can find location details at the community calendar at mystaticradio.com.
Do you have a free event going on? Submit your event details for The Wire at mystaticradio.com.
Shock Therapy Live. Maybe this time the treatment will take. Better yet, chime in now on Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or call 505-338-3700. We find it best to get it off your chest. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Steve-O and Pastor Nate Heitzig hanging out with you this morning.
Yes.
Shock Therapy Live. You can get your questions in at Facebook, Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Or if you'd like to chat, give us a call, 338-3700. We have one phone line open. Or if you'd like to keep it anonymous, we do have those as well. In fact, we have an anonymous email to get to at studio@mystaticradio.com.
Should we take a phone line?
Sure. Let's take it. Line two, we've got Zephaniah. How's it going, man?
It's going good. How are you?
Can't complain. What's up?
So I'd like to comment on the question that was raised about the self-defense and the yoga and the martial arts and stuff, and about what Bible and the church has to say about those things.
Yeah.
So the Bible says that in everything we do should be for the glory of God. And it says that we should always be praying constantly when we rise up, when we rise down. And David even said, in all my days, I always have the Lord before me. He's always looking to Christ. So everything that we do should be about Christ, whether that be self-defense classes, karate, sports, even parkour. We should always make that a form of worship to edify Christ. When for me, I'm a free runner. And that to me is an excellent way that I worship Christ because I'm very active. I love to move. And that's what God made me. And that's how I realize I can worship and edify God. So when I'm out there doing those things, I'm giving thanks to God for that. He's allowing me to do those things. And half the time I'm praying, God, please don't let me get hurt. But, you know, he's always there. And it's just a way that I can really feel connected to my Savior. And that's the way I believe that everything that we should do should be about it. But the thing is we got to be careful because it's really easy to say, oh, well, this is my way form of worship, when in reality, some things that we claim are truly aren't how we worship God. We just use it as a cop-out. And so if you're going to say this is how I'm worshiping God or this is how I bring glory to him, then you've got to make sure that you're actively doing that, that you're actually giving the glory and credit to God. You know, you can't just say, oh, well, I'm a good athlete and I praise God for it, but then live your life such that it's not pleasing and glorifying to God. So we should always be, if we're going to claim that to be our form of worship, then we actually need to go out there and live it like it is our form of worship.
Yeah.
So, like, for me, I do free running, I do skateboarding, I rollerblade. So it's a really great for me because when I'm out there, not only am I enjoying myself, but I also get a chance to talk and communicate with other young men out there who are skating and doing the same things that I'm doing. And, you know, it's just great to get to sit down and have conversations with them. And most of the conversations aren't necessarily God-focused, but it's building a relationship with those people. And then I can tell them about Christ, invite them to church, you know?
So it's one of those things. Dude, I also like to imagine when I karate chop boards that it's Satan's face.
Stop it right now.
Yeah. I think there's a Bible verse on that. It says, thou shalt karate chop Satan's face.
Will you stop it? You know what my favorite part about this is? It's a reminder to me that we are all created like different. We worship him differently because I saw a t-shirt yesterday that says, if I'm running, zombies are chasing me. And that's how much I hate running. I should have bought that shirt.
Dude,
I hate running.
Have you seen the zombie run in Arizona?
Yeah, see, I would do that.
Have you seen it?
I'd do that.
Have you seen it?
Yeah. Where like basically these zombies, and it's like a fake marathon, but not. And there's obstacle course.
It's a 5K, but it like looks terrifying.
Amazing.
Like the zombies. Now check this out.
I
looked online. You can sign up to be one of the zombies.
See, I'd do that because then I don't even have to run.
Oh man.
Oh. Thanks for the calls.
See, I watch people run and I get tired.
Yeah. Yeah, it
like
hurts
I see, my wife. My wife will run, and I'll see her leave the house, and I'll see her come kind of like I'll stand up and look out the window, and I'll see her running, and it makes me turn. I'm like, I gotta sit down, man. I need to sit down for a second. That's tiring.
505-338-3700, the phone number. You are listening to Shock Therapy Live. I'm Steve-O. With me as always, Pastor Nate Heitzig. Taking your questions. Maybe you're dealing with something right now. You just need a little advice. You want to know what the Bible has to say about a situation in your life. That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
You can send us an anonymous email to studio@mystaticradio.com.
Dude, and Zephaniah must have some lungs on him too, bro, because that dude was talking like a million miles per hour.
Well, yeah, he's a runner. I don't think he breathed that whole time. Yeah.
Jesus loves me, and I got to tell people about Jesus.
That was amazing.
I was expecting like the faint. I was literally waiting on the phone. I was like, okay, he's going to talk, and I'm just going to hear, boom. Zephaniah, are you there?
But that's why they run, bro. He's got great lung capacity.
Zephaniah, did you just do a backflip? I was waiting for it.
Studio@mystaticradio.com. That's the email. And if you'd like to send us an anonymous one, you can do so like this person did.
Yes. He put his name on the email. Does that mean it's anonymous or not?
No, I don't know. I always just assume anonymous when it's an email. So.
Yeah. Okay, he says, good morning. My son is 5 years old and has autism. For the most part, he is nonverbal, cannot verbally speak, but he uses his iPad to communicate things like, I want milk or can I have fruit snacks? He's come a long way in the last year, but at this rate, I'm not sure if he'll ever get the concept of God, Jesus, etc. He's my son, but he's also my best friend. How will I know he'll be going to the same party as me when he dies if he cannot mentally understand this stuff? Is there any verse in the Bible that talks about this kind of thing? If he cannot comprehend good/evil, Jesus/Satan, does that exempt him from eternal hell?
Wow.
Now, the first place my mind goes with this is the age of accountability, and I'm going to explain why. So we're told in Matthew 19:14, let little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. So you have this concept of a young child that to them belongs the kingdom of heaven, that if they die, that they'll go to heaven. And then I also wanted to take you to James 4:17. It says, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. And so we have this concept of a mental capability, a mental understanding of sin, and of righteousness. And I believe that there are many people who have the mental faculties or the mental ability of a child. And again, they can't truly understand right and wrong. They can't understand, and confess their sin. In order for salvation to be, something in someone's life, you have to be able to confess your sin, acknowledge that you're a sinner, repent of that, and accept Christ in your heart. Now, if you are at an age where you cannot do that, and I believe that age is different for every single person. I believe some people come to that understanding much quicker than others do. But if you can't physically do that, then God isn't going to hold that against you when you stand before him in heaven. Again, he's a just God.
Right.
You're not going to stand before him. He's going to say, well, you never accepted me. And you're going to say, well, I couldn't. He's going to say, sorry, that's just your lot in life. That's not how God works. God is a just God. God is a righteous God. He's a merciful God. He's forgiving. So I believe that for someone who can't ever reach that place of acknowledging God, acknowledging their sin, I believe that person is going to be in heaven with God when they die.
Right. Great question. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. You can send in a question, or if you'd like to keep it anonymous like the last gentleman, studio@MyStaticRadio.com. There's a line open for you. And if you would like to give us a call, you can do so as well. 338-3700. We're going to go to line one. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
I had a question about the first email that was anonymous about adultery and forgiving that cheating, and you know, you weren't sure if it was in the context of marriage or not.
Yeah.
Okay. My question is, my first husband cheated on me and adultery with another woman, and came to me. I was able to forgive that, and it actually draw our relationship closer, because the reason for adultery, you know, they don't just go out and commit adultery. There's things behind that, and that brought up those things, and they were able to be dealt with. And, you know, our relationship actually became stronger as this process of forgiveness. But later on, his abusive behavior was verbally and mentally abusive. And, later on, there was always this feeling like there was another woman, and the only reason he admitted it was because she was going to call me. But I found that out later. But nonetheless, I ended up leaving him because he was so verbally and mentally abusive, I couldn't handle it anymore. And so when you talked about adultery being the only thing for divorce, it threw me, because I'm kind of concerned that, you know, because he was watching videos and other things, and define adultery. And, you know, there were other things that engulfed him that took away from our life. We weren't in the same path.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
so
I was in church, you know, I stopped partying, I stopped everything, and he just, I wanted to go to church, and you know, and he was mentally and verbally abusive, and I'm not gonna do this.
Yeah. So the definition of adultery is voluntary sexual intercourse between a married person and a person who is not his or her own spouse. That's the definition of adultery. Now, I'll hear people try to say, well, Jesus said that if a man looks at a woman with lust in his heart, that he's committed adultery. Yeah, it also says that if you look at someone with hate, that you've already committed murder, but we can't stand trial for murder for hating someone. So there is a definite difference between physical sin, and mental sin. Now that doesn't mean that separation is not a possibility within a Christian marriage. We oftentimes at the church encourage couples to separate for a time to seek the Lord, especially in a situation where the man is physically abusive, mentally abusive. If there's strife in the marriage, we'll encourage them to separate, and then we as a church will come alongside if the spouse is the female or the male, whoever is being abused in that situation, we'll come alongside that spouse and we'll enforce church discipline on whoever it is that's in sin. So if the guy is looking at pornography actively, if he's verbally, mentally abusive, we'll come alongside that wife, encourage separation, and then we'll enact church discipline on that husband and attempt to bring him back and attempt to appeal to him and attempt to do that. But again, the only scenario that the Bible gives room for divorce, for actual divorce, is adultery, and that is physical adultery. So that doesn't mean that church discipline and that separation can't come into play for other things, but for actual divorce, adultery is the only provision that the Bible gives.
Well, that's how I understood it growing up, and that's how I understood it growing up. Now, I mean, I had speculation, you know, he never confirmed it. He always denied that at the very end that there was another woman, but he moved in with her a week after he moved out.
Wow.
I mean, that kind of clarified it to me. But he did not attend church with me ever. I've gone since I was a girl, but he was not active in the church at all. And we did separate a year before and try that. And we went to one of the conferences even.
Yeah.
And it did get better for a while. And he did go to church with me for a while. And then something happened and it turned right back around.
Yeah.
He ended up leaving on his own. It wasn't like I threw him out. It was, and so I want to answer that question too about them leaving on their own. If you're unevenly yoked, where does that come in?
Yeah.
Now, you stay together, because, I married him thinking he was a Christian and then he never followed through with it. But, you're unevenly yoked, you stay together because, he might come to Christ through me. I see that. But if he leaves on his own, where am I bound? Where am I bound on that?
Great question.
Let me give you the verse first of all, because you had like six questions in there about being unequally yoked and how you're supposed to deal with that. So 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 13 and 14 says, "And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace." So the Bible spells it out very clearly, actually,
right,
both of your questions, that as a believing wife and you have an unbelieving husband, you're not called to divorce him. You're called to stay with him. You're called to minister to him. You're called to continue to try to bring him into that relationship with Christ. And that's what the Bible calls you to do. But if that unbelieving husband decides to leave you and he decides to leave and he decides to split, you're not under bondage because he as an unbeliever and you as a believer, you tried to make things work. You tried to pursue him. And if he decides to leave, it spells it out very clearly there in 1 Corinthians that you're not under bondage to that.
There you go.
All right. So that gives me a lot of peace because it kind of went up and down all around there. And that's how it ended up. So
yeah. So read that. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and that should give you some encouragement.
All right. Great. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Karen. God bless.
All right, you're listening to Shock Therapy Live. I'm Steve-O, Pastor Nate Heitzig, taking your questions.
Yeah.
Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio.
We got another email.
All right, anonymously, if you want to send them, studio@MyStaticRadio.com. There you go.
The email says, "Hi, I'm not really sure how to ask this, but I have a friend who's grown really far away from God and doesn't know how to get closer with him. She's been through more than anyone should have to. She said she has plenty of reasons not to talk to God, but I know she wants to be close with him again. What could I say to help her?"
Wow. She has many reasons. She's been through more than so.
She's been through a lot. She said she has plenty of reasons not to talk to God, but I know she wants to be close with him again. What this sounds to me is like you projecting upon her that you think that she wants to be closer to him. It sounds to me like she's giving you I would say outward appearance that she doesn't want to be closer to him.
Right.
But in your heart, you're saying, man, I just know that she really wants to be close to him. I know she really wants to, be with him. And I don't think that that's necessarily the case. I think that each person is accountable for their own decision to accept or reject Jesus Christ. And I think that a lot of times, as compassionate Christians, which we should be, we sometimes take upon ourselves the burden of other people accepting or rejecting Jesus Christ. Now, we as Christians do bear a responsibility to share the love of Christ, but if someone rejects that or if someone refuses that, we're no longer responsible for them. And we can't take upon ourselves this feeling of guilt or responsibility for their relationship with Christ. So what would you say to her? I think what I would say to her is, hey, I want you to know that you've been through a lot of pain, and that's not fair. It's not fair that you've had a lot of stuff happen in your life, but I want you to know that Jesus Christ loves you, that Jesus Christ didn't cause that pain in your life. And if you ever want to talk about it, or if you ever want someone to cry with you or pray with you, I'm here for you. Yeah. If you ever want to get biblical insight upon who Jesus is and what he wants for your life. And then I would leave that with her and just pray that the Lord would bring her back and pray that the Lord would open up a conversation down the road. What would you say?
Well, see, the funny thing is you're so much more compassionate. You're a good dude. I read that, and the immediate thing I thought of was her excuses. Look, she's been through a lot. She's got plenty of reasons not to talk to God. But doesn't everybody have, quote-unquote, plenty of reasons? We all have excuses. My dad died when I was 6. I was the product of many a divorce after that, thanks to my mom and multiple stepdads. I was the product of abuse. I grew up with whatever. There's 1,000 reasons that, quote-unquote, could have kept me from God. But really, it came down to my heart attitude. My heart, myself, deciding in my heart, we all have a choice to make, and her choice that she's making right now is she's going to allow the circumstances of her life to dictate her relationship to God. She's going to allow whatever's happened in her past to dictate how she, quote unquote, feels about God. And it's whether it's an emotion or it's a circumstance or whatever, those things are dictating her choice to stay apart from God. And so you have been very compassionate in the, hey, man, you know what? Jesus loves you, and you, if you want to talk about it, cool. And so I would say from that aspect, after hearing you say that, I agree with you. You know, I hear everything she's saying, but we all have baggage. We all have baggage, which is why Christ says that, man, his yoke is easy, his burden is light. All you who are like weary and just heavy, come to me. Come to Jesus. And so for me, that's I guess what I would have to say too is we're all broken. We all have baggage, but that's not God's fault. That could be the stepdad's fault. That could be your father figure. That could be your spouse's. That could be whoever's fault it is, quote unquote fault. What does that have to do with Jesus? It has nothing to do with Jesus, because Jesus loves you. He cares for you. He wants you to come to him and lay these burdens down, to not have to be anxious about him anymore, to not have to worry over him, or to not have this crazy anxiety, this bitterness, this whatever you're dealing with. We come and we lay it down. And so when you're ready to lay that down and not allow those things to dictate your life, then let's talk.
Yeah.
So anyways, we got to take our final break. One last break, and then I promise we'll get right back to your phone calls, your whatevers. And yeah, we'll do that right after this short break. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live with Steve-O and Pastor Nate Heitzig. Studio at mystaticradio.com for email questions. There is a phone line open at 505-338-3700.
That was a big yawn.
Yeah, good job. Shock Therapy
Live. It was like a two-minute yawn.
Attention Bible clubs.
Why do you get the megaphone? Why?
We want to kick it with you.
You have a loud enough voice.
I mean, we do.
I'm the one that's soft-spoken.
We want to hang out.
I deserve this.
We want to have lunch.
Give me the megaphone. You don't need it.
We want to hang out with you.
Are you kidding me?
We're fun.
Wow.
We're cool. So, Bible clubs.
You gotta be so loud.
Steve-O and Mitch, what's up? We want to hang out with you. We would really like to come to your school and rock some lunch.
And we want to give you tickets to the prom coming up.
And as an incentive, we're going to throw down some tickets to prom.
Yeah, I just said that.
So hit us up through email, studio@mystaticradio.com.
You're so loud.
And I'll read them and be like, sweet, I got an email.
Okay.
Okay, have at it. Do whatever you're going to do.
Thank you. Oh my gosh, that was so obnoxious.
The Awake the Planet Youth Conference. The theme for this conference is With Everything, Giving 100% to God. Guest speakers include international conference speaker Pastor Enrique Bremer and Pastor Jerome Wade. You'll enjoy worship music with Awake the Planet Band. Daniel Bashta, and more. March 22nd and 23rd at Legacy Church. Tickets in advance or at the door. For more information, go to awaketheplanet.com or call 505-261-6169.
Shock Therapy Live. We thought we knew what we were getting into. Now we're just trying to get through the show without getting fined. You're still listening? Good. Because Steve-O and Nate haven't bailed yet either. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Ah, yes. Welcome back to the show. If you must ask a question,
Yes.
Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio.
Although I told you my mustache wasn't manicured. It doesn't look good in the picture. Part of it's cut off.
Here, would you like some of my Oregon mustache wax?
Yeah, after the show.
Okay. It's the wild hair, bro.
Man.
It's good. It's good stuff.
Pretty cool.
It's made by hippies in Oregon who watch Portlandia.
I want to be one of those people.
Yeah?
Maybe.
There you go.
Someday.
Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio if you'd like to chime in on Shock Therapy Live. You can also send us some anonymous questions. Man, we are getting
yeah.
a bunch of studio questions. Studio@MyStaticRadio.com. Phone lines are open as well. 505-338-3700. What do we got?
We've got an interesting question. A gentleman writes in and says, "Hi, I'm 19, and I love this girl, but she is 16.
Oh.
A lot of people don't like that we're dating." Well, actually, he says, "But a lot of people doesn't like that we're dating. What should we do?" I would say you should wait.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Give it 10 years. When she's 26 and you're 29, no one is going to care.
No,
I think everybody cares.
I think even when you're 22 and she's 19, people won't care.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I think that three years really isn't that much of a difference. I mean, a lot of people get married and the guy's about 3 years, sometimes even, you know, 4, 5, 6, if you're really creepy, like 10 years older than the female. But typically 3 years isn't that much of a difference, but at that age, it is a big difference. There's a big difference in that age range. So, I would say this, true love stands the test of time. And true love is patient. And so if you're at this place, you're like, man, we love each other. We got to be together. Whatever. Okay. You're not patient. Shut up. You shouldn't be dating her anyways because there's no patience there.
She's 16. She probably still has a Justin Bieber poster on her wall.
Yeah, man. She's like doing like algebra and stuff.
So does my co-host, but you know, whatever.
That's kind of strange.
I know. We'll pray for you, Mitch.
Yeah.
25.
Don't you know Justin Bieber got kicked out of Paris because he was a jerk? Haven't you read about that?
You know, it's funny because I was having this conversation last night with my wife. She is a fan of Patrick Stewart. Sir Patrick Stewart. He's getting married. In fact, Sir Ian McKellen is the one doing the officiating, which is interesting. Magneto is doing the officiating.
Isn't he gay?
Professor X's wedding. Yeah, he is. But he's like officiating it. He's 72, I believe, and he's marrying a jazz singer who is 34.
That's what happens when you have money and you've been on Star Trek.
30-year difference, right? But my wife was like, dude, it's Patrick Stewart. He's, you know, whatever. It's cool. And I was thoroughly creeped out by that. This, to me, it's like 19, 16, but it's that she's 16. She probably watches... Never mind. You know what? Whatever. I'm not going to belittle this. But the fact is she's 16. What I cared about when I was 16, what I cared about when I was 20, are completely different from what I care about now in my 30s.
Yeah. Now, I would say there is a high chance that you guys are compatible. You know,
yeah.
Girls mature much faster, so she might be more mature than you are. But that doesn't mean that you guys are like, man, we just have to be together. Because, again, for me, that's like a sign of immaturity. When people say that, Nate, you don't understand. We just love each other so much. We have to be together. No, you're just immature. You just need to grow up a little bit. And then you can see what life's really about.
Yeah.
So I would say, if you really do love her, then wait. You know, if you'll find really quickly in a year if you still really love her. If in a year you're still like, man, I'm still waiting for her. Okay, then it's probably real love and you can wait a little bit longer. But if after a year like, we just stopped hanging out and I'm fine now. Okay, good. Then you never should have been with her in the first place. You didn't deserve her. So I would say you wait. You're patient. You respect her parents. You respect those in her life. And you give God time.
Yeah.
And if you guys are meant to be together, you will. You know, God is sovereign. If you guys are meant to be together forever, you really think that a couple years is going to stop that? I don't think so.
Don't be the 20-year-old that goes to prom.
Yeah.
Don't be the 20-year-old that goes to prom.
Because that 20-year-old is the guy that gets followed home by parents and beat with a club.
Yeah. Or if you're 21, you're the guy that gets hit up by all the 17-year-olds to like, hey, dude, afterwards, could you buy us booze?
And then you find out that you're hanging out with a bunch of 17-year-olds and your life is really pathetic.
Yeah, and then you get arrested and go to jail.
You're like, who are my friends? Oh, they're 17-year-olds.
Yeah, don't be that
guy. Oh, wow, my life is weird.
don't be that guy.
Yeah.
Patience.
That guy probably has a mustache.
1 Corinthians 13. Go read it, live it, understand it. The definition of love. I agree with you wholeheartedly. 505.
Go play some video games or something. Come on.
338-3700, the phone number. We do have one phone line open. In fact, we have somebody on the phone. Let's take it. Static.
Hi. I was calling because I'm struggling with sexual sin ever since I came to the Lord. It seems like everything's attacking me now.
Okay.
And it just, basically like persecution, you know, pulling me down, trying to pull me back away from the Lord. And I've been walking with him for about a year or so since I've done it in front of the church and committed that was to God and everything.
Okay. Let me ask you this. So you gave your life to Christ about a year ago. And you're battling with sexual sin right now. What are you doing? Do you have an accountability partner? What are you doing practically when you are tempted to separate yourself from that temptation?
It's pulling me away from my girlfriend, and it's pulling me, and it's making me look into porn and stuff. It's not another person. It's making me go into other directions.
I want to say something right away because you're saying that it is making you. But the Bible actually clearly speaks out that we cannot say that we are being tempted, we are being tested, but it's only by your selfish desires that you are choosing to walk away. And I know that's something that's hard to swallow, but this is what the Bible has to say about it. When you are drawn away from God, when you are drawn toward a temptation like sexual sin, and as men in the room, Pastor Nate and myself, we can definitely hang out with you on this conversation and talk about this. When you are drawn away from that, Bible says in James that, well, you can't say that you're being tested or tempted by God because God does not tempt anyone. But it is only by your selfish desires that you are drawn away. So one attitude that needs to be stripped away is the fact that the idea that, man, I'm being pulled away, and it's not me. It's this temptation, and you don't understand. It's gripping me so much so that there's nothing I can do. And that's just simply not the case. There are things you can do, and you can choose not to fall into that. In fact, we have an incredible promise in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man." You're not the only dude that's ever battled this. I'm not shocked when you called in and said, "I'm battling with sexual sin." I wasn't like, "What? Dudes struggle with that? I had no idea." It is common, all right? But God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So my questions would be, when those temptations arise, are you looking for that ladder of escape? Are you looking for that rope that he's throwing to you to be able to endure, to be able to flee that temptation? Because if God promises something, he's going to follow through on it. And so if Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 13 or 1 Corinthians 10 that God is faithful and he will always provide a way of escape, are you looking for it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I look for it, and I pray on it and try to pull myself away and everything. I know there's tests, but it feels like the devil's trying to get at me.
Right.
Yeah, and this is the thing. The devil is trying to get at you. The Bible says that he is a roaring lion prowling to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. Satan wants to jack you. Satan wants to pound you down. Satan wants to destroy you.
Yeah.
And you can either choose to sit around and mope about it and let him do it, or you can choose to gird up your loins, put on the armor of Christ, and defend against it.
Right.
So Satan is trying to get you. The choice is, what are you going to do about it? So, you know, you need to set yourself up with an accountability partner. Set yourself up with someone who can hold you accountable. You need to pursue the avenues that are going to rid that temptation from your life rather than finding ways to give into that temptation. So you've got to actively do things that are going to change the course with this temptation in your life. Yeah. And there are those resources out there, and we have some of them. There's a great website called XXXChurch.com that you can download some software for your computer called X3 Watch, and it monitors what websites you go to. You find an accountability partner that every time you feel tempted, no matter what time it is, you can call them and say, hey, bro, pray for me. I'm feeling tempted. Yeah. Someone you can talk to. You've got to have these resources in your life. Otherwise, the temptation will always win.
And I'll tell you what, you need to use that resource, especially if you're dealing with pornography, because there's so many resources at XXX Church that you can utilize. I have multiple friends who have signed up for this software, and I get an email every single week from different people, and it says, hey, this person is clear. You know, like they didn't go to any pornographic websites. They didn't do this. It'll tell your accountability partners if you've tried to disable it. It'll tell your accountability partners what websites you visited, if there was pornographic material. You need to get plugged in, and you need to have unshockable friends that you can go to, that you can add to this list and utilize that software, because it is a resource for you. You got to know, as Pastor Nate said, 1 Peter chapter 5 is where you find the verse that says, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Right before that, the sentence before that says, be sober-minded and be watchful. You need to be watchful for those signs of temptation. When you are dealing with temptation, whether it's like watching a television show and you see something, what do you do? How do you respond to that? Are you watchful for those warnings? Like, I know that I'm not feeling so hot today. Are you calling those people that are your accountability partners? Are you turning off the television? Are you diverting your eyes away from something that could potentially draw you toward temptation? Are you fleeing those situations? Are you being sober-minded? Are you being watchful? Mm-hmm. And you really need to look out for that. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 through 10, write it down, commit it to memory, and God promises some amazing things. I'm going to read it in its entirety for you. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And those are some amazing promises of God. He will restore you. He will confirm you. He will strengthen you. He will establish you. Be watchful, be sober-minded, and stand firm in your faith, resisting the devil. All right, man?
All right, thanks.
All right. That is it.
And don't do drugs.
And don't do drugs. Yes, that's good too. Thank you.
I think if you add that onto everything, no matter what you say, hey, I'll see you at Taco Bell at 5 o'clock, and don't do drugs.
Drugs are
bad.
It's
still timely.
Okay.
You know, it's still good advice.
There it is. If you missed any part of the show, get to mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive. You can find the podcast there, and we will see you guys again 1 week from this morning.
Peace out.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.